prefabs in New Zealand. Look, they've been around for a long time. For example, the large-scale government investment in infrastructure projects like hydroelectric scheme housing. But with the recent housing woes, prefab housing has been cited as one part of the answer. Advocates say that by constructing the parts in a controlled environment away from the weather, things can be closely monitored and more efficient. But can it deliver to scale? Is it just another buzzword or a trend? So the government wants some red tape out of the Building Act to allow more homes to be built more quickly. Building and Construction Minister Jenny Salisa said the Act made building houses slow and expensive, so one of the solutions, ramp up prefabs to make high quality manufacturing of prefabs a reality. Now, this is interesting. In New Zealand, 10% of newly built homes are prefabbed off site. In some countries, that figure is 80%. What do you reckon, Carlo? Often, it's interesting, that word prefab entails those, when sometimes the first thing that comes to mind is those, yes, that's right, those cheap temporary school buildings. But that's kind of an outdated way of thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're in a housing crisis, so we definitely need some innovative ways of shifting it. So if I don't know enough to be able to say anything sensible on this, but it sounds like a good idea to me.
Roll the dice and see if it works. What do you think?
Help, prefab housing experts. I'm not one, but I would love to see things move faster.
Well, you're in luck. You're in luck. Before we go to our guest, Connor, is this a way to address our housing issues? A lot less red tape with them.
Yeah, look, it's another thing that the government is absolutely heading in the right direction on. We've got to get the cost of construction down, and the supply chain that we currently have, the sort of traditional supply chain, is incredibly expensive. And there's some vested interests in there who want to keep it that way, and so they've always fought against more flexibility in regulations that allow other ways of constructing houses or buildings. And the prefab that you talk about, you know, you can build prefab homes 20 stories tall. That's the other thing that we need to do, is not only the construction methods, but we need to go up in our cities and have more bedrooms on a plot of land. You know, 3 bedrooms on 500 metres in Auckland, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot per bedroom, but you put 100 bedrooms on that plot of land, you're going to be affordable, you know. And I'm pretty exercised on this one, because I've got half a dozen kids and they're all going to need to buy homes, and they simply cannot afford, like most people, to spend $1 million on a 3 or 4 bedroom home. So the government's heading in the right direction. If anything, they should be more aggressive with it, and they should also look at the standards, because some of the standards there are just simply a barrier to entry.
Well,
that have been put up by incumbents who have a privileged position that they use standards to protect themselves with. And I think we need to reassess some of that stuff as well.
And this is the concern, isn't it, Carlo? You've got like Connor, parents out there who are going, okay, how are my children going to, you know, how's your wee bubba going to afford a house in the future? How's my little toddler going to afford a house in the future?
Yeah, I have this idea. That if you could have maybe a prefab that houses just like one bedroom, and but it has pre-approval to like add another and add extra bits, because us PIs, we're actually pretty good at doing overcrowding. So we could overcrowd for a bit, but all be saving up to then extend it and extend it and extend it. And that's one way that I see that we could maybe get into the housing market, so that overcrowding works for us rather than against us.
Have a modular system.
Yeah, a modular system.
There's those systems out there.
You know, yeah, I would love that. I just think, why can't we do that? We would do that. I could see it working for us.
Does that speak to that idea of when we construct a city, we've got to speak to diversity as well? So that modular system, as you say, and I know that too, you know, when you have a
like your grandparents, we're just going to have to wait a year, and then you can have your own wing, you know? And then we'll save up money, and then the cousins can be over there. And, you know, that's actually a way that I could see us owning houses.
The other thing, though, on this is that, you know, our family structures have diversified. It's no longer just always mum, dad and 3 kids.
No.
You know, we've got single people, we've got, you know, all sorts of shapes, sizes and shapes of family structure, but we still seem to think in our planning laws that what you have to have is 500 metres that you're not allowed to have more than 30% built on, because we need a grassy pitch out the back so you can play cricket on a Saturday afternoon, and you're going to have mum, dad and 3 kids in it. I mean, we're not adapting to our demographic change.
And we've already got heaps of people living in garages in South Auckland. Like, why not let's get real about that and actually allow those things to be built safely and
okay.
warmly.
Well, with us, we have a Prefab NZ CEO, Scott Fisher. Now, Prefab NZ is a non-profit group that advocates for this sort of off-site design and construction in New Zealand. Scott, welcome.
Thank you, Wallace. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. I actually want to address Carlo's issue there, because that really does sound very, very interesting as an idea, these sort of modular homes where you don't have to go through consenting again, but you can actually just slide along an extra for grandmother to come in. I just think that's a great use of new type of thinking. What do you reckon?
Look, it's a massively exciting part of the construction sector, and there's lots and lots of different solutions that are available now. And look, and I think moving forward in the years ahead, change continues at pace. Definitely the industry's embracing off-site manufacturing. Technology is helping to drive some great design. Factories provide better work environments in which to build those better quality homes. And the off-site industry is really embracing the high-performance houses, including insulation, because I think the opening remarks about cheap, boring and not insulated are very much in the past.
Okay.
Things have definitely changed.
Oh, so the question is this: can you do it? Can you get up to scale? Now that you've had a commitment of sorts from the government, have the confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the industry is doing it, and in many ways there's been some quiet achievers doing a lot for some period of time. The recent changes are really welcomed, and I think it's great news for the industry, but for also the public, because there's a lot of current friction in the consenting process. And I think the proposal that's been put forward, which will come into effect next year, will take quite a bit of that friction out. If you've got time, I've got an example of, for example, with
briefly,
if part of a house or a house is built in Christchurch and goes to another location in the country. Mm. The receiving council doesn't automatically accept that.
Right.
And that can cause some real delays, and that's not good for the customer, the home buyer, and it's not great for the builder also. Any bottleneck in the system really does create delays, and that introduces extra cost as well. And this is not about cutting corners at all. This is about taking out duplication in a process which slows things down, and it's much better to have the homeowner in their home much quicker. That means less rent, that means no bridging finance, for example. So, look, the proposal is great news, it's welcomed, and it's just going to be part of a very exciting sector.
That's the end of our show. Scott Fisher, Prefab NZ, thank you so much.